Being a control freak is totally exhausting.
You can say that again.
Being a control freak is... Okay. But, you know, here's the thing about being a control freak. It sneaks up on me so quickly. I start each day trying to meddle less, but by evening when I look back, I see all the ways I've been at it again.
Well, you would probably sympathize with the reader who sent us this. I want to learn a deeper trust that God is in control. I want to let go and allow God to take control because I know in my head His outcomes will far exceed anything I can ask or imagine.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules.
Today, we're sharing what we learned from our conversation with Cindy Bultima, author of Live Full, Walk Free, Set Apart in a Sin-Soaked World.
If you struggle with trusting God to be in control of your life, and especially your relationships, we get it. And we've got some ideas for you to try today. Well, let's talk about our amazing conversation with Cindy Bultima. I don't know, I keep pinching myself that we get to do this. And when we first started this podcast, I was so worried about microphones and doing things right. Now I'm just finding myself getting totally caught up in listening and learning, and my mind starts spinning and my heart starts being convicted, and you and I are both pulling out the Kleenexes more frequently.
So. I know. What is up? And on one hand, I'm like, Amy, stop it with the crying. And on the other hand, it is so cathartic and to hear the wisdom coming out of women like Cindy Bultima. And as you said, we got so taken with her passion that came across. Our listeners may not know, but we do our recordings on Skype. And we started doing it just audio, but Sherry, you wanted us to be able to see each other, which has been really transforming, to be able to watch people's faces. To see the light in Cindy's face while she is talking about her story and the way Jesus has redeemed her life was just, it gives me chills all over my body right now to think about it. Because for a girl who grew up in church, and to listen to Cindy's story, sometimes I hate to say it, but I just take Jesus so for granted.
No, I understand.
Cindy never will, never will. And I need people like her in my life to just remind me of how precious this relationship is.
I'm the same way. I have to be careful not to say, oh, I'm a third generation or fourth generation church member, because, of course, we're all first generation when it comes to our relationship with Christ.
Yes.
We can't inherit it. We can inherit some wonderful traditions and amazing beliefs. I did have praying parents and grandparents. I'll tell you the thing that so struck me with listening to Cindy is listening to her talk about her absolute enthusiasm for digging into God's word. And she was talking about how she'd always wanted to study 1 Corinthians. And I'm like, I can't remember ever thinking to myself, I've always wanted to study a particular book of the Bible. You know, I've always wanted to read a book I bought at Barnes & Noble or see a movie somebody recommended. And then when she said she dove in for a year and a half, I was like, that's some serious commitment. And I'm a word nerd. I'm a geek. I mean, I like to study, but I'm like, Cindy, girlfriend, that's over the top. But I realized that when listening to her, and then, of course, the trip to Corinth. And then it wasn't just a shopping and baklava trip. It was a...
Well, okay, I really did have to pause. I have to pause a moment there. I needed to ask her, surely in the midst of your archaeological explorations, you pack some baklava in your backpack. Come on.
I hope
anyway,
so.
Anyway, go ahead.
No,
you're
right.
Keep going, girl.
No, baklava is very spiritual. You know, Jonathan and I make homemade baklava, and, you know, the decision between whether to make it with almonds and pistachios or walnuts and these are all very holy decisions.
Oh.
Baklava is like one of the foods on the Tree of Life, but now I've really gone down the wrong road here.
Back to Corinth.
We need to find out for sure, though, because you're right. I will lose sleep if she didn't have some baklava. But, you know, what she reminded me of is the rewards when we do immerse ourselves in Scripture. And I'm going to say this without intending to do any kind of guilt, because I know one of our biggest things on this podcast is to offer compassion and permission. And each woman listening is at her own stage in life. So if you're listening and you're a mama who's being kept up by a colicky baby, what I'm saying may not be for your season of life. Okay, maybe you're in the season of life where 30 seconds with Jesus is what you can catch before you need to go back to sleep. But I'm in a season of life right now where listening to Cindy wakened something in my heart and made me realize I was lonely. I remember those days. I've done that kind of scripture study myself, and I tried to remember when the last time I was that I really, really went that deep just because I wanted to, just for the fun. You've talked about this, how when you're in a season of writing and speaking, sometimes you can go to the Word, you can spend the time with God, but it's always to get something because you need to give it immediately. You've got a purpose for it. And to really linger that long just to see God and to spend time with Jesus and to let the Holy Spirit work, I'm like, okay, 2017, this has my name all over it.
Really, really good. Well, and the thing that struck me too about the trip, of course, I will do just about anything to get my passport stamped. So I was having a little travel envy. But
so if California breaks away from the Union, you'll come visit me?
Yes. No, I want to come anyway. I'll go. Yeah. Anybody who's listening, if you've got a state that I haven't been to, I'd love to come see you. And I have had the same experience because so many of my Proverbs 31 sisters have been taking these trips to Israel.
Yes.
But just hearing about her trip to Corinth and to Greece, that area, these trips to Israel, it's the reminder that this is real.
Yeah.
I know that sounds wonky, that I've based my whole life on a book, the Bible, that I need a reminder every once in a while. This is not just a book. Mm. It's not a story. Mm. It's history. Mm. It's real. Mm. And just a story doesn't change a life the way Cindy Bultiman's life was changed. A person does that, and that's the person of Jesus. Mm. And the people that he used in her life to bring her to him. How amazing was the story of the couple that reached out to her?
My word.
That were her, the people that came and sat at her table at the restaurant.
Yeah.
So not family, not even close friends. I mean, I was really struck by that they were the people she had reached out to because they had evidently formed a relationship as they sat at the table that she was waiting on.
You know, I think that's such a key point that was a takeaway for me. I tend to follow my former students on Facebook. I don't friend them, but after graduation, if they're interested, if they friend me, then I will always friend them back. Mm-hmm. And so many of them make choices that I wouldn't necessarily have hoped they would have made after graduation. Sure. And one thing that is so sad to me, now I'm sad for the consequences of their choices. I'm not trying to let them off the hook, but I've had some of them tell me that they actually, and I'm thinking of one student in particular, she told me that she gets Facebook messages from people she doesn't even know. And they are throwing Bible verses at her, long lists of Bible verses, and telling her that she is at the top of the prayer list of their weekly prayer meeting. Now, they've never met her. They don't know her. They don't have a relationship with her. And first of all, she says she feels like she's just a project on their list. Like, they feel so good that they are doing their duty. She's like, where were they? She had aged out of the foster system. Mm. And so she's especially sensitive to people who want to throw information or throw advice. But where were they? Where are they? She doesn't have a home to go to for Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter. She doesn't necessarily have some place to go and just crash and hang out on the weekends. Are the words of Scripture true? Yes. But is what they're doing effective? And is the way they're doing it consistent with the love of God? I'll just say it's not being received that way. She's feeling very judged. And when she sees that little bubble show up on Facebook, she's feeling harassed because she didn't ask for any of this. She didn't.
Right.
She never posted something saying, please let me know what you think about me. Please, by all means, tell me anything you want about your opinion about me. She never did that.
Right. That's hateful behavior. And it's un-Christ-like. Let's just call it as it is. It makes me think, yesterday I was talking to a coaching client, and we were talking about sticky statements and just things that connect and then change your behavior. And one that she used for parenting, but that applies here too, is that connection has to come before correction, which is so powerful. I mean, it's a great parenting phrase, but really it's in the context that we're talking about. Mm. It's so pertinent as well. I think about, on the flip side, this student is reaching out to you. Obviously, you have an ongoing conversation with her. Barry had the rare and wonderful opportunity to teach kids for 6 years because he was in a band room that was in between the middle school and the high school. Uh-huh. So they started coming to him in sixth grade all the way until they graduated from high school.
Gotcha. That's wonderful when you can.
He had such deep relationships with these kids. And this was in a public school setting, so he couldn't preach the gospel from the front of the classroom, but he had lots of opportunities on those long band bus trips.
Oh, those are the best.
It's remarkable to me how many of those kids have become Christians. And some of them, just to be quite honest with you, I would have never believed that they would have become Christians. They were some pretty hardcore kids. And I cannot help but think that it's because of my husband's influence and connection with him in their life, that they saw 6 years of Jesus coming through him. It's just a reminder of how important relationship is. And then the fact that this couple used both tenderness and truth.
Yeah.
It was a combination of both, not one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. I was struck with the fact they didn't invade her life without an invitation. They said yes to her invitation, and then they invited her into their lives. And so, you know, that really challenged me to think, you know, we've talked so often about how, as recovering perfectionists, we see the problems in everybody else's life. And the first thing we want to do is point the finger and focus out externally on and correct them, because it makes us feel so much better. Plus, we don't have to worry about our own lives. And yet when it comes to even simple hospitality, I tend to be like, nope, nope, nope. I like my privacy. You know, I don't want to have anybody over. And this is, no, not only are we going to have people over, we're going to invite people with problems. We're going to invite people who are wrestling and struggling and say, come on in. Come on, be part of my mess. Come on, be part of my imperfect life. And we're going to do life together. And then I loved the fact that there was still accountability, because that's, you know, of course, we've talked about the extremes. You know, I'm either going to judge you completely, or I'm going to, Cindy made the comment that we can extend too much grace, and I don't call that grace. I call that license. When it's not freedom anymore, when there's no consequences and there's no boundaries, I don't think that's mercy. I don't think that's love. I don't think it's freedom. I don't think it's grace. I think that's license. Have at it. Okay. I would love to become a better friend that people can trust me to help hold them accountable in love and in humility and in, I want to say, slowness, because again, I'm so quick to have the snap judgment. I'm so quick to want to say something. And I know that sometimes my best input comes when I paused and I've been like, really, Lord, am I supposed to say something about that? Really? And then I need 24 to 48 hours, not to stall, not to be disobedient, but to really listen and make sure that this wasn't just an impulse. I brought up something with a good friend a few days ago, and it turned out I was meddling. I just had that urge to say something, and I was like, I don't think I need to say it this morning. No, I need to say it right now. And it was fine. You know, we worked it all out. But as I was reflecting on it, I was like, no, I don't think that one was from the Holy Spirit, because I had the need to say it. And I even thought to myself, I should wait. I should wait till this afternoon. I should wait till tomorrow. It wasn't a timely issue. It wasn't something that had to be. The next day would have been just as fine. And I just couldn't stop myself. I was like, oh, yes, I remember. That's the feeling that I need to hold in check. That's when I really need to pause.
That's really astute. Yeah, that exact same thing happened to me in a meeting this week, that there was something I needed to say, but the timing was off. I said it too quickly. Mm-hmm. So Cindy, one of the things she talked about that really gripped my heart was this circumstance with a friend that she told the truth to that then led to estrangement. So I mentioned that I have been in these shoes, but mine wasn't necessarily as grace-filled. I learned over time. Mm-hmm. And what with me, I had four friends within 5 years that had affairs.
Oh.
And three of the four are believers. Mm. And one of those three in particular, I would have said, is the rock of Gibraltar, like that. Aww. Her faith would never be shaken. So it was just a really, really hard time. And I think I got progressively better at dealing with it. And I'm thankful because in all of the circumstances, three really of the four in particular, God has redeemed those friendships. I don't know that we'll ever be as close mm-hmm. again as we were at one time. I don't know if Cindy will find that because there's some damage that can't be completely undone. Mm-hmm. That's just the truth. But I do have pretty good relationships with most of them. Mm-hmm. We've been able to work through some of it. But I will say this. This is another little red light indicator. Is at the beginning, I realized I was always the last to know in our friend group.
Oh.
Always.
Ooh.
And I thought in the beginning, I sort of took pride in that. I kind of thought, yeah, they don't want to tell me because they know I'm the one that'll tell them the truth. Wow. That's pretty disgusting, isn't it?
Oh, I totally resonate with that, though.
And then by the end, I was like, no, they're not telling me because I'm self-righteous. Oh. And they know it.
Oh, man. Oh,
that's
man.
Where breaking up with Perfect came from. Yeah. I mean, the pain of that realization of moving from taking pride in being the one that tell the truth to realizing I'm self-righteous.
Wow.
That's where it really came from. That's where the work starts, is when you realize, this is sin in my life. Because self-righteousness isn't just a nasty character trait.
Yeah.
It is sin.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
yeah. And you know, that urge to be right, that's where my speed came from, that I wanted to bring this topic up. And it wasn't because I wanted to bring it to resolution. It was because I was so excited about being right about something. And I turned out to be wrong. I not only turned out to be that the timing was wrong, but I was actually wrong. And if I had taken the time, this is why the Holy Spirit was nudging me in this situation and saying, relax. If you relax and wait, you will discover that you don't need to say what you think you need to say, because it's only true in your mind right now because it's spinning so fast. And if you will slow down and think more fully about the situation, you'll realize that you don't need to say what you think you need to say. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I might have had a nickname that's related to that particular trait.
What would that be?
I was on a mission trip when I was 20. With a girl, and her name was Pam, and I'm Amy, of course. And so she became Praying Pam, and I was Action Amy.
Oh, my word.
And whenever that worrying starts in my mind, in my heart, I got to do something, I'm like, okay, Action Amy, take a chill pill.
Whoa. Okay, that is going to I'm going to think about that. The Holy Spirit is going to bring that back to me when I'm starting to get into Commander Sherry mode. Action Amy, take a chill pill. I like it. Oh, my word. And yet I've been thinking about, you know, how all of this ties into grit and grace. And, you know, I feel like my grit has been weak much of my life. And I feel like I'm working on it. I'm willing to work on it. And I feel like Cindy gave such practical tools for telling the truth in love. And I'm feeling like I'm feeling convicted. Of course, you know, then the danger is I'm now looking for somebody to practice on. And that's not a good thing. You don't want to be in my crosshairs.
Oh, we don't have anything scheduled for the next week, do we?
Amy's quickly ducking and running.
Don't practice on me.
Amy's running in a serpentine fashion already. What I'm really becoming convicted on is that if I'm going to think I can do it for others, I've got to start with myself. And I'm like, I know I have good truth-telling friends and people in my life, but I've not been nearly as intentional as Cindy has been about setting them up for success. And I would like to make it so that they know, and so that they even have a script they can use, that they have an in, that they're like, Sherry, remember how you once told me, and remember how you've always said. Nobody can say that to me. You know, people can say, well, Sherry, I know that you fall apart when anybody gives you any kind of input, but I mean, that's what they can say to me at this stage. And so I was thinking to myself, well, how would I go about giving someone permission? And I realized that in Overwhelmed, Kathy and I have a section that talks about making your personal manifesto. And as I was thinking, what could I share with my closest friends and tell them, if I deviate from this, please let me know. If I stray from who God has called me to be, please call me out on it. And I realize that the personal manifesto I've made is the perfect way to do that, because it's a list of who I am or who I aspire to be. And I can just hand that over. It's a single piece of paper and say, this is it. You see something that I'm doing or saying or starting to trend that deviates from this? Hold it up. This is your in. Sherry, remember this thing? Did you really mean it when you gave it to me and gave me permission to call you out? Because if so, number four, we need to talk. And I'm not saying that's an easy conversation, but I am saying I feel like I have a tool, something tangible. And
that's terrific.
I would feel so honored if somebody would do that for me.
Well, and I was thinking about the grace part of it. My favorite quote from the time with Cindy was, the message of Jesus isn't shame on you, it's shame off of you. Oh, makes me tear up. And we need to see people through glasses of grace with lenses of love.
Oh, I love that.
Beautiful pictures of grace. The other visual that Cindy gave us was the picture of her two houses, the old house where she had lived as a drug addict, which I know, girls, if you're listening and you haven't gone to look any pictures of this woman, go find a picture of Cindy Baltima online and you'll be like, cocaine addict, this woman, it just doesn't even connect in my head. But anyway, so there's the picture of her old house where she lived as a drug addict, and now her new house where she always wondered, would I ever be able to live in a normal house like that? That visual and driving past the old house to get to your new house, I was like, we should all be doing this.
Yes.
Like internally driving past the old house in gratefulness to the new house. I love the scripture, and I may have even talked about it here on the podcast before. John 15, 9 and 10, where Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, there's the truth part, you will remain in my love. There's the tenderness and the grace, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, the cool thing is I've done a word study of that word remain, and it means dwell. It means dwell there.
I love it.
So I'm thinking about Cindy's houses.
Yes.
I'm thinking about dwelling. I'm thinking about how we are called to dwell in God's love, the new house.
Yes.
You know, drive by the old house, but live in the new house.
I love it. That's a great picture, and that's a great connection to that verse. You pulled a really good bad rule out of our conversation with Cindy. What was it?
It's my job to help. That's in air quotes. It's my job to help others behave. Because really, we don't help others to salvation when we carry the shaming stick that she talked about. We might get them to behave externally, but that internal change that's really the goal is not going to happen.
So true. So true. So what is the truth? What is the fact we can focus on instead?
Truth must be combined with love and grace to transform lives. Head over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode41, where you'll find this week's Digging Deeper download, Bible verse art, and transcript.
We hope you've enjoyed episode number 41 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules.
Join us next week when we'll be wrapping up our Overwhelmed series by putting one of our favorite guests, Kathy Lipp, on the hot seat.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and
break it.
You kind of pulled it out of the conversation we had with Kathy. So what's the bad rule that we're breaking this week?
the conversation we had with Cindy?
Yeah.
You said the conversation we had with Kathy. Do you want to say it again?
Let's try again. Thank you so much, because of course, wow, Kathy on the brain.
Well, I said in the video the other day that I wanted to live in comparison. At the end, that was my end cap. I'm like, no, I want to live in compassion. Anyway, go ahead.
I love it. The truth comes out now.